Verse 16, chapter 3, book of Habakkuk. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice of the Lord. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our Lord, our God, we welcome thy presence in the midst of us, O Lord. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord, the only one who is the Holy One. For God alone is wise. Father, we pray, O Lord, may you come in the midst of us. May you walk in the midst of us, O Lord, without your anointing, without your power, without your the holy presence, without the reverence and honor, without the fear of God filled in our hearts, without the joy of the Lord rule our hearts, without the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts. Father, we cannot worship thee, O Lord. We cannot understand thy revelation, O Lord. We cannot receive the words of life, O Lord. Lord, I pray, may you soak all of us in your presence. May you bless all of us, O Lord, to read the scripture with the eye of the Spirit, to understand the scripture with the ear that is anointed by the mighty hand of the Lord, and to perceive and to understand and to observe the commandments of the Lord, the heart that is sanctified, circumcised by the Spirit of the Lord. For the word of God is a double-edged sword. Lord, we pray, may you bless us today, that we continue our journey, the journey of perfection, the journey of repentance, the journey of reconciliation, the journey of changing from glory to glory. Lord, we pray, may you come and speak to every one of us today. Thy word and thy Spirit is everything to us. It is life for us. May you come and lead us in your presence. And may we say, understand, speak, observe, receive everything according to the perfect will of God Almighty. We surrender our life, we surrender our everything at thy feet. May you, Lord, bless us and anoint us. For the power of thy anointing destroys the yoke. For we are all called to carry only the yoke of God Almighty. For you said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come, O Lord, in the midst of us and be the light that will shine upon all our hearts and consume all the darknesses. May all the burdens be lifted up in Calvary. For you are the Lord who comfort us, you are the Lord who deliver us, redeem us. Lord, we pray, may you come and bless us, that we are all washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, purified, refined like silver 7 times. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen and amen. Shalom and God bless you all, dear brethren. We thank the Lord for bringing all of us today. Today we start the sermon from the book of Habakkuk. I thank the Lord for the beautiful words of encouragement. It is written just before the book of Zephaniah. The book of Habakkuk ends with a powerful declaration, a proclamation of faith which screams in our ears, in our hearts, saying,
no matter what. Indeed, it is not written there explicitly, but the book of Habakkuk says, no matter what, there is nothing, there is no one, there is no power on earth that can stop the child of God from rejoicing in God. Amen. And the servant of God speaks by the inspiration of the Spirit. Verse 17 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. So verse 17 is all about failing or missing or losing or not yielding or not being fruitful to the eyes of the flesh, to the eyes of the world. And verse 17, the vessel of God comes and stand against all the valleys, all the trials, all the confusions, all the afflictions, all the things that says it is over, it is over, it is gone, there is nothing going to happen. Then the vessel of God say, yet. The word yet means no matter what. No matter what, come what may, yet. Whether I live or die, I am the Lord. Whether I suffer or rejoice, I am the Lord's child. Now, the Lord who died for all of us, he said, I am the Lord. And he told us, you belong to me. And we say, I belong to the Lord. Whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. Amen. I belong to the Lord. Now, if there is no fruit in the fig tree, if there is no profit from the vineyard, if there is no meat from the field, if there is cut off in the fold, whatever, then the child of God say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. So verse 18 is today's sermon by the grace and mercy of the Lord, because there are two in the single verse which says, my rejoicing is in the Lord, number one. My joy is in the God of my salvation, number two. Because joy and rejoice are not the same. Rejoicing in the Lord and the joy of my soul is in the God of my salvation. Now let us remember, book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, God was manifest in flesh. So now apply these words of life. It says, my joy is in my God of salvation. So God was manifest in flesh. For Yahweh is salvation, that is Yahusha, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, however the people call it, according to what they have been revealed to. Yahweh is salvation. Joy of my salvation. Now what is rejoice? I will rejoice in the Lord. And that word, it has been linked to the previous verse in the midst of afflictions, sufferings, failures, falling, whatever, even in the face of death, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And God tells Moses, I am the Lord thy God. I am Yahweh thy Elohim. Now what is this rejoicing in the Lord? The world has been deceived by themselves to understand perfectly how to rejoice about the Lord. How to rejoice about the miracle of the Lord. How to rejoice about the revelation of the Lord. How to rejoice about the scriptural knowledge of the book, not the book of life. They know how to rejoice. They know how to boast. And they know how to make a fortune. But that is not rejoicing in the Lord. That is rejoicing about the Lord. About God's work. About God's miracle. And boast. I also belong to the same group. I am also part of the same people. because I rejoice about this victory, I rejoice about the healing, I rejoice about the mighty deliverance, I rejoice about this and that. I also rejoice about Calvary because someone died for me, suffered and died for me. I rejoice about that. That is not holy. That is not heavenly. That is not pleasing to God who is Spirit. So today, in the Word of God, by the leading of the Spirit of God, we shall meditate prayerfully, and may the Lord come and teach us what is rejoice in me who is called the I Am. Rejoice in me. So this me is not you and me. This is in caps. So throughout the sermon series, whenever I use the word caps, it means I am, pointing to God. Aleph. Rejoice in me. It is a commandment of the Lord, and not just that, it is also a calling from the Lord. Rejoice in me if you can. May the Lord bless us as we hold on to the book of Habakkuk. And may the Lord help us to go through the scriptures, understand what is this rejoice in me. So I want us to remember these two directions so that we continue. One, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and my joy is in God of my salvation. So there are two things. Joy of my soul is in my God. I rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Now let's turn your scriptures to book of Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10. And let's unfold this step by step, like how the Lord unfolds our life one day at a time, which is also step by step. Today is the day, and we shall be glad and rejoice in it. Chapter 61 verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. So let's stop it there. And let us remember these two distinctions. I rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is in the Lord. But the most important thing is my joy is in God of salvation. Amen. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for greater is He who is in me than who is in the world. And He told Abraham, I am thy exceedingly great reward. And He is great God Almighty. Whatever that He do in my life, it is great, not small. Because He Himself spoke through the servants of God. Is it a small thing to thee? Because He is great, He is not small, we are small. And we give thanks to Him for both little and great things, for both small and great. Because whatever He does, it results in great redemption, great salvation, great reconciliation. For God is great. How great the what? But now, I shall rejoice in the Lord. My joy is in the God of my salvation. But here, the book of Isaiah says, my soul shall be joyful, not my flesh. How the Lord created you? Flesh, soul, spirit. Body, soul, spirit. And when Jesus Christ warned the disciples, fear not the man who will destroy your body, that is flesh. But there are two more attributes in your creation, soul and spirit. The first Adam was a living soul. And the last Adam was a quickening spirit. Now here the Bible says, my soul shall be joyful in my God. So God is spirit. My soul will find its joy in spirit. Stephen is being stoned to death. He has lost his body, but that was torn, broken, hurt, wounded, bleeding by the hands of men. But he feared not those who could kill his body. He feared the one who was standing in the cloud, the Son of Man. In love, in holiness, in righteousness, he feared him. And he told him, receive my spirit. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Because the soul of Stephen found the joy in God. And he was able to allow the Lord to reconcile his spirit. So you could see the testimony of Stephen in three layers. One, the body was broken, killed. No doubt about that. But before that happened, his soul was redeemed. His spirit was reconciled. Because he could not fear those who were stoning him. Now, we often forget to look at the fact that Stephen was rejoicing even when he was being stoned to death, because his rejoicing was in the Lord who was standing and witnessing the testimony of Stephen. The Bible says, Son of Man stood. Isn't it? He saw the Son of Man stood on the clouds when he said that they killed him. The rejoicing of Stephen could not be taken because he was rejoicing not about the Lord. He was rejoicing not about the testimonies of the Lord. He was rejoicing in the Lord. He was rejoicing in the testimonies of the Lord by surrendering his life, submitting his life to him. Now, by the grace of God, let's continue book of Isaiah, same verse. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. It's a very famous verse. Many people remember this like a muscle memory. But it doesn't make sense if the first part of the verse is not in our life. Do you rejoice in the Lord? Is your soul find joy in your God? If the answer is nay, the rest of the verse doesn't make any sense. It doesn't profit. It has no power in my life. Why? The next verse says, For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth. Now look at this. So the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, will cause the righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. My precious dear brethren, the whole sermon series began because of the one single verse in book of Psalm. Righteousness and peace, mercy and truth. Now here, so beautifully, for the very first time, righteousness and praise mentioned together. Now before we understand the verse, we have to go back and refresh our mind from book of Psalm chapter 85. Let's turn our Bible to go back to the verse which was the foundation of the sermon series. Psalm 85 verse 85 verse 9. Surely salvation is nigh them that fear him, that may the glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And this is the verse by which the Lord blessed my heart, the sermon series, the kiss of God's counsel, because there is a meeting point of mercy and truth, and there is also a kissing between righteousness and peace. Now, why righteousness and peace have kissed each other? Because verse 11 says there was a fruit of it. There was a yield of that event, which is truth sprang out of the earth. And righteousness that types God Almighty, who alone is righteous in heaven, looks down and he could see the truth spring forth from the earth, which is his vineyard. He is the gardener. He is the husbandman. Now, we are all saved when we receive the truth. Amen? And the Bible calls you righteous trees, the trees of righteousness sown in peace. Remember the scripture? The trees of righteousness sown in peace. And when righteousness, that is God who alone is wise and holy, he looked down, heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool, he sees the people of God receive the truth, he sees the salvation spring forth from the earth. But book of Habakkuk is completely on the other extreme. Even if there is no fruit, even if there is no bud, even if there is no yield, no meat, even if there is no unity, but the Lord cut off the flock from the fold, even if everything that happens, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. So how can we rejoice in the Lord? when things are being fruitful and also when things are not going according to what you desire, how can you rejoice in the Lord? Because the Bible says He changeth not. He was, He is, He is to come. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. So the book of Habakkuk says, if the Lord does not change forever, why your rejoicing change? If you truly love the Lord who never change, then why the way you rejoice in the Lord change? Sometime rejoice about the Lord. Sometime rejoice about yourself. Sometime rejoice about the Lord's blessings. But the one thing that should not change in our life is, I rejoice in the Lord yesterday. I rejoice in the Lord today. And I will rejoice in the Lord tomorrow. Because He was, He is, He is to come. Now watch this rejoicing. From the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy, and until the book of Apostles, the letters of Apostles, may the Lord bless us to go through how the time changes, but the gracious Father in heaven, how He upholds His faithfulness in our lives. Mercy and truth met each other, righteousness and peace kissed each other. Amen. Now in the same chapter, read one verse before I go to the book of Isaiah, verse 6 of the same chapter. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Hallelujah. So the answer is here. The answer to that question is here. The lack of rejoicing in the Lord is a lack of revival. So let's write it clearly. Need revival to rejoice, not in flesh, but in Him, the Holy One. Explicitly written, Lord, can you please revive us that we may rejoice in Thee? Which means, if I am not revived by the Lord, I cannot rejoice in Him. Renew a right spirit in me. Now, verse 7 says, shew us thy mercy, O Lord, grant us thy salvation. That is why mercy and truth met each other for us to receive salvation. Righteousness and peace kiss each other, for the groom will come and kiss the bride. Isn't it? He will come and kiss the bride. The complete manifestation of God who is spirit, who is righteous, Father in heaven, that Son of God, who is the Word of God, the image of God, the glory of the Father in heaven, is the righteousness of the Father in heaven. He will come and kiss the bride when the bride is in peace with the groom. Because we were enemies to His mind, isn't it? He made peace with all of us on the day of Calvary by washing our sins by the precious blood, the Holy One. But book of Isaiah wants us to learn something on top of that. So now let's go back to chapter 61. Why righteousness and peace? Now why righteousness and praise? Chapter 61 verse 10 says, verse 11 says, the last part, the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So my brethren, let me write this here, because if we do not understand these two together, do you know among the 12 tribes, there is only one tribe that has been explicitly linked to the particular word? And that tribe is Judah. Let's all turn our Bible to book of Genesis. When Leah was blessed with the fruit of the womb, she gave four different ways of thanksgiving. Four different ways. Same for Rachel, she also gave two different ways of thanksgiving for Joseph and Benjamin. But the way Leah gave thanks, it's so deep and it's also encouraging to all of us. Let us understand the word praise from Leah. Genesis chapter 29, verse 30, I believe. Let's turn your scriptures. Genesis 29 verse, let's read from verse 31. Genesis 29 verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now remember this, the very first word, the reason why the Lord blessed Leah was hatred. And the Lord Himself could see the hatred, so she wanted to take away the reproach from her life. Everything the Lord did came with a fruit of the name. Now verse 32 says, Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord had looked upon my affliction, now therefore my husband will love me. So how Reuben was introduced? Leah says, the Lord look unto my affliction, He gave something to me that my husband will love me. So Reuben is the firstborn. Am I right? But did he become a mighty tribe? No. Jacob cursed him. Even Moses could not bless him wholeheartedly. Why? All of the 11 sons of Jacob, they fell into the trap called Joseph. But he was supposed to be the savior of them in the Old Testament. But he also became a trap for all the 11. The same happened to Jesus Christ, our savior. All the 11 disciples also forsook him and fled. Whereas the 12th one betrayed him and killed him. Now, Leah says, the Lord take away the affliction. Because the Lord saw the hatred. Now, second step. And she conceived again, and she bare a son, and said, because the Lord had heard that I was hated, He had therefore given me this son also. She called his name Simeon. Remember the name Simon? We had a lot of characters last Sunday to meditate upon, the previous Sunday, concerning the word Simon the Peter, Simon the Sorcerer, Simon the Leper, so many Simons. But let's remember this tribe of Israel, who is also called Simeon, but the mother gave thanks in a way saying that the Lord heard I was hated and He gave me Simeon. Now what happened to Simeon? What happened to Levi? When the sister Dinah was raped, what happened to these two brothers? They embraced violence. How come the answer of hatred, which was supposed to be peace, but rather it chose violence? How come? Now let's look at the next one. And she conceived again, and she bare a son, and said, now this time, will my husband join unto me? Because I have borne him three sons, therefore was his name called Levi. So what is the role of Levi? To unite the man and the woman. To bridge the gap between the bride and the groom, the wife and the husband. While Levite is priesthood. Moses from Levi, Aaron from Levi, the most important tribe in the season of wilderness, the Levite. Without Levites, no one can carry the Ark of the Covenant. No one can carry anything. No one can carry tabernacle. And Levites were appointed by the Lord to teach the statutes and the commandments and the testimonies and the law of Moses. And the Lord said, I am their possession, I am their inheritance. They don't need any earthly inheritance. I am the exceedingly great reward for them. That Levi, Leah rightfully said, because of my son, husband and the wife will be joined together. Like how Eve was inside Adam, and how the bride supposed to go inside the last Adam. Amen? Joined together. Because we are the body of Christ. Body of Christ, the different members are joined together. We abide in the word. And He is the head of the body of Christ. The head sees, the head hears, the head smells, the head eats, the head speaks, the head thinks, the body just obey. So that is the bread of Christ starts from the neck, goes down. That is the bread of Christ. The head is here, the Lord Almighty. Because He gave His body, He gave His blood, He gave it as a remembrance that we eat the flesh and we drink into His spirit, the blood. Now the last one, the fourth one, the most important one, the Lord filled the cup of Leah's heart. Now she is going to overflow. My precious brethren, I want all of us to remember the Leah's heart as the womb, as a cup. He filled Reuben first because she was weary, she was tired, she was not, you know, in a right frame of mind. She was, you know, struggling with pain. Then he gave Simeon. Then he gave Levi. Now her cup is up to the brim. It is going to overflow. Verse 35. And she conceived again and bare a son. She said, now. Now. Why she said now? Why the scripture says salvation is now? Salvation is yesterday? No. Now. Present established truth. Now. It is life itself. The Leah mother says, now will I. Praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah and left bearing. The question is, she did not have any reason to justify the birth of Judah. Do you see? She did not say, I was crying, he made me happy. I was wounded, I was healed. She did not say anything. She said, now will I. Praise the Lord. And my son's name is Judah. And this is the tribe the Lord had chosen to bring the lion, to bring your deliverer, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because now, I praise. Do we really understand what do we mean by praise the Lord? Is it singing with instruments, singing happily? Is it just that? I want all of us to remember the woman in the Old Testament as ministries, as churches, as the earth. Because earth will bring forth the birth. The woman who pangs in the pain of birth pain, she will bring forth a child. When the child comes, all the sufferings, all the afflictions, all the pain will disappear. Why? The joy will take over. Now the same thing happened to Rachel for two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. But the case of Rachel is so, so painful because Leah said, now will I praise the Lord. Because her mind is unstable, the Lord blessed her to come to the state of, you know, praising him because of three sons. She lacked nothing. When she lacked nothing, when the grace was absolutely sufficient to Leah, then the Lord came to her as Judah, give the fruit of the womb, Judah. But Judah had no role until the kingdom of David was established. They were like a silent, silent tribe. No big roles, no big things. It's all about Levites. Until David comes, it's all about Levite and Benjamin, isn't it? Because Saul is the first king, not David. Now, let's read two verses about Rachel. Chapter 30, verse 22. Now Rachel, we know that she was envious of Leah, she was jealous. And verse 22 says, God remembered Rachel and he hearkened unto her and opened her womb as if it was like the tomb of Lazarus, where the big stone, a rock was hiding Lazarus from coming out. And Jesus came, take that stone away. In the same manner, God took that prayers of Rachel, and she said, he opened the womb. Like how the Lord circumcised our heart, sanctify our heart, and out of the abundance, the mouth speaketh. He opened the womb. When you speak the words of life, the word is anointed. When the word is anointed, it will bring forth the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, in the name of the fruit of the Holy Ghost. God is love. How the fruit of the Holy Ghost begins with? Love, joy, peace, amen, and goes on. Now Rachel says, she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. So who is Joseph? The man who can take away the reproach. And he did. They were hiding, was about to perish in famine. Joseph came, exalted, next to the level of the king Pharaoh in the entire region, And he took away the reproach of Jacob and his sons. He brought them to the land of milk and honey. They were given a royal respect, you know. Even when Jacob was buried, there was a royal parade for burying Jacob. The father, son honored the father, and he did. That Joseph, mother said, the Lord taketh away my reproach. Burdens are lifted, Calvary. But Jesus said, bear my reproach outside the camp. You see the contradictory statement here. Joseph was born to take away the reproach of the mother. And he did for all the tribe of Israel. But this Savior, the only Savior, Jesus Christ, he said the other way around. I will give you reproach. Because you must carry my name. You must carry my truth. So get out of the camp. Don't be complacent inside the camp. And go and bear my reproach. Because when you witness me, then you will see what is to experience. Embrace my shame. Now, two mothers, five different ways of thanksgiving. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, all four from one, that is Leah. Joseph from Rachel, five. Benjamin, we all know, we have already gone through that. He was born, the mother died. We spent one whole sermon on Laban and Jethro. Laban was chasing Jacob to ask him, how dare you to steal my two daughters and just run away? You know, when Jacob ran away, after Joseph was born. Do you know when Jacob chose to run away? After Joseph was born. Look at the next verse. Verse 25, and it came to pass, when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place, unto my country. Jacob, the 12th son, is not completed yet. There was always an impatience in the life of Jacob. He was not a patient man, but the Lord showed mercy in him. Gave him dreams to encourage him. Jacob was like an inheriting man. He always inherited everything. He was a complete example of God's blessing that takes over your life. But Laban did not give permission, and we all know Jacob escaped. But the Bible says Laban chased him, but God told Laban, don't hurt my son. Don't you say good, don't you say bad, because I am sovereign in my son Jacob. And I am sovereign in you, my son Laban. The father in heaven made peace with the father-in-law and the son-in-law, isn't it? But you know why it is so important? I want all of us to remember. Those who are fathers here, you have daughters, those who have such a relationship, you will understand much better than anyone. Rachel is going to die in 1-2 chapters later when Benjamin was born. Father Laban had one last chance to kiss her. Don't you understand what really happened there? Laban chased Jacob, kissed Rachel, kissed Leah, blessed the two daughters, blessed the grandchildren. And how many grandchildren? Without Benjamin, it's not complete, but Laban blessed them and sent them away. One chapter later, we all know, after some time, Rachel gave birth to Benjamin and her soul departed. When she was dying, she said, Benoni, and father said, Nay, Benjamin. That is, not son of sorrow. The Lord rejoiced in thee, son of strength. For Jesus Christ is your strength. Amen. Now that is the importance of the kiss of Laban to the daughters, because he said, I may never see them again. He was not joking. He said this, what if I may never see them again, Jacob? Let me kiss. Don't stop me from kissing my family. And he kissed them. And immediately the two angels met Jacob. Amen? That's what we read a few Sundays ago. Now remember the word righteousness and praise, which is also an inspiration of the line of Judah, who alone is worthy to praise. Amen? You want to praise the Lord? Praise the Lord in Christ. Now let's turn our scriptures to continue from here. Book of Zephaniah chapter 3. Now, go back to Habakkuk, you would see the next book is Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, let's see what happens here? Verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. So here, be glad and rejoice. We sing a song, today is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's a very famous song. Sometimes we sing even without understanding. Sometimes we sing because we are sad in the office. We just want to encourage ourselves. But that song is not meant for vanity. That song will not give you encouragement for things that are vanity, will disappear over time. That song, that word is eternity. Today is the day the Lord has made so that I will rejoice in Him forever. Since you will live with Him forever, for today you rejoice and be glad and be content. Why? If you want to live in eternity, show me first on earth that you can hold on to His joy. Now why the scripture says in book of Zephaniah verse 15, the Lord hath taken away thy judgments. What Rachel said? The Lord hath taken away my reproach. Why? Reproach will always result in some sort of a judgment. Either you are judged or the one who gave you reproach, he will be judged. Either you are a victim or you are a criminal, isn't it? And the daughter of Zion should rejoice because the Lord hath taken away thy judgments. What he says, he hath cast out thine enemy because the dead will be destroyed in the lake of fire. There is no enemy who can stand against God. Lack of understanding is the true enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. No weeping, no sorrow, no death. When the Lamb is the light of the city. This is the book of Revelation I'm reading now. What I'm reading now is book of Revelation, what it types here. We shall dwell in the city where the light of the city is the Lamb of God. No sorrow, no weeping, no death, and the lion and the wolf shall dwell together. Lion and the wolf, we heard about these two people somewhere. Oh, Benjamin, you shall be called the wolf. Oh, Judah, you are called the lion. Amen? The first king and the real king, David. Now, look at the continuation in verse 16. It says, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not unto Zion, let not thine hands be slack. My precious brethren, the very first time I am introducing the word called the work of thy hand. What it has to do with rejoice, it has everything to do with rejoice, because the whole book of Deuteronomy is nothing but the work of the hands of people and how God rejoiced over them. And how people rejoice in God. Do you see a cycle here? People rejoice in the Lord. One half. The Lord rejoiced over the people. Another half. The agape that resonates, that reconciles, that completes a cycle. That forms the beginning and the end. That completes everything. Now, verse 17 says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. The Lord thy God. Remember the word, I rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall find its joy in my God. Habakkuk chapter 3. That's what we have been reading from book of Isaiah 61, Habakkuk 3. Now Zephaniah says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save because the salvation is come. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Never, ever take these two words so lightly, rejoice and joy, or something same. But today we are going to draw the line, the thin line of God's plumb line. The Bible says God rejoice over thee, okay? And not just that, the Bible says the Lord God, He rejoiced over thee with joy. how he rejoiced over thee with joy. But the Bible says joy linked to soul, rejoice linked to Lord. Am I right? My brethren, it is a constant pattern which we are going to study to understand why the Old Testament is not complete without New Testament and why the New Testament is not complete without Old Testament, because it is one single word which the Jews fail to see so, even denominational churches cannot see so, because they don't even understand what is rejoicing, what is joy. Forget about Godhead. Why the Lord had to go through sufferings? Why He died to give you life? Why He suffered to give you joy? Then what is rejoicing? Is it refilling? Is it renewing? Is it reviving? What is this rejoicing? It's not being happy about being a Christian. It is not being so glad that we are in a church. It is not so joyful because you read Bible every single day. It is none of it. Not any of it. It's not even because someone received the name of the Lord, because the Lord used you as a testimony. None of it. None of us are the saviors. What is rejoice? Let's continue. Verse 18 says, I will gather them, okay, that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Book of Malachi says, the burden of the Lord came unto me saying, I hate Book of Malachi. Zephaniah is good because Zephaniah is all about rejoicing. The rejoicing moment of the Lord came unto me dancing. I choose this. Book of Malachi ends Old Testament, not Zephaniah. Malachi ends with the burden, and Matthew comes and lifts the burden on Calvary where the Lord who died for you and me. And he said, I rejoice over thee. The word rejoice over thee should ring a bell to your ears. The book of Genesis says the Spirit of God was hovering upon the water. Correct? That is over the water. If you have seen the mist formed over a lake in the early morning, you could see how beautiful it is, as if the cloud came to fellowship with a river or a lake because of humidity, you know, and perspiration. And you just wait and see sunlight comes and the mist disappears. Or the light comes, the heaviness disappears. Now, Zephaniah talks about daughter of Zion, daughter of Jerusalem. The word rejoicing here in this book talks about God who rejoiced over thee. Now let us ask a question to all ourselves. Do we please the Lord? How do you know? If you say yes. If you say no, how do you know? There are some answers in the scripture that can save your life. Known only to Him. Thou knowest, Lord, I do not know. Speaking on behalf of God is as good as Lucifer wanting to sit in the throne of God's heart. Both are sin. There is no difference. Now, when people rejoice in God, God cannot rejoice in them. He rejoices over them. Can you handle the fullness of God in your life? You can't handle it. You know what the Lord says? My grace is sufficient to thee. There is only one in the scripture who was standing in the river of Jordan after the baptism by John the Baptist. Only one, the Bible says, my fullness dwell in him. Where the Father in heaven can say that, my fullness dwells in him. He is my joy. He is my glory. He is my everything. He is my beloved son. Only one. And for all of us, we receive the peace and here and there, bits and pieces, like the manna fell from heaven. If you all eat, your stomach will explode. You will die. Too much of anything is good for nothing. It's a very beautiful proverb actually. It's from scripture. Which is anything more than the word, it is poison. That's it. Now, if God rejoices over me, is there anything that we lack or we don't do it that makes Him grieve that makes him grieve about our life. Continue the word, verse 19 says, behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. You know how it is undo? Erase. That there was no trace. Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah attacking. And the Lord undo them that afflicted Lot and his family. But yet Lot was afflicted by his very own two daughters. Have you ever thought about that? The one who escaped from the entire Sodom and Gomorrah, he could not escape from his two daughters. They gave him wine, make him drunk, and he slept. And here you go, surprise, Ammonites, Moabites. Rachel, Leah, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Joseph, Benjamin. Praise the Lord. Daughters of Lot, Ammonites, Moabites, who are not even in the list of 12 tribes. And that Ruth was redeemed back to the tribes by marrying Boaz. And she gave birth to Obed. And Obed gave birth to David, Jesse. And Jesse gave birth to David. So who is David? The grandson of Ruth and Boaz. Wow. So Abraham and Lot, they became relatives after all. The son of Abraham took wife from the family of Lot somehow. Ruth the Moabite. So can we say the Lord cannot rejoice in someone's life? You see, the Bible says, I will save her that halted and gather her that was driven out. Why is it singular? I will gather her that was driven out. How deep the scripture is. And the Bible says Jesus Christ will leave all the flock in his shelter and he'll run after that one single sheep, the missing sheep, and he'll go and find that single soul. And he will even go against the entire world to redeem that one single soul. That is why the Bible says the Lord rejoices over his children. His agape has no partiality. Million, one, he don't know. He can't number them. His love is same. And here the entire land of Jerusalem, Zion, daughter, comprised of one single element of her, and says, I will gather her that was driven out and I will get them, hallelujah, praise and fame in every land they have been put to shame. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Should remind you what Rachel said, what Leah said, but this verse has been completely abused by worldly Christians and worldly ministries saying that we are a reputed ministry. What reputation? Oh, we perform 1,200 miracles, still counting. Reputation? Shame. How many names are written in the book of life? No one knows. We have been baptizing for the past 70 years. 2 million people baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. How many will go to heaven? No one knows. Then what the scripture says, I will get thee praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is praise to you? There is only one who can give you good report. Do you know? And that good report is called the praise that comes from Heavenly Father. And he will get thee praise. He will give you the crown of glory. That is your praise. Live and die. Wait for the crown of glory. That is your praise. Eternal praise, which is the crown of glory that rests upon your life. There is glory of the Father. And it has to be done with a groom who will place the crown on the bride. My bride, I will rejoice over thee. Song of Solomon. Let him kiss me with kisses of his mouth. Not someone's mouth. But today the whole world, many ministries are kissed by someone's mouth. Not with the mouth of God. Now, the Bible says in verse 20, at that time, so that's an appointed time, I will bring you again, which means you fell. That is why it's called second Adam. Which means it was lost. As he sang the song, I was once lost, he redeemed me again. Because before he laid the foundation, we were in his mind. So again, because you are not new to God, but we became enemies to God, and he brings us back again, like the prodigal son. He was in the house before. Again. That is why we have to remember he was, which means you were. He was, I was in him before he had the foundations. He is, I am with him today. He is to come. I will go with him when he comes. You are in him whenever he speaks about himself. Now, the verse says, I will make you a name that is not your name, that is not your reputation. It means the name of the Lord that is written on your forehead in the book of Revelation. I will make you a name. The name, the lame was healed, the Rahab that was redeemed, the sinner who was saved. I will make you a name and praise among all the people earth. There is only one praise, my dear family of God, that is holy. When your life glorifies God, even when you are put to shame. We must decrease, He must increase through rejoicing in the Lord. But your flesh will never allow that. The flesh will tell you, you increase the Lord, only then you can increase yourself, ma. It's a logic, right? Good logic, right? I invested in Christ. I put some money in the Bible. When the Bible stock goes up, I also go up, right? Smart. I'm a good investor. People invest their life in scripture. When the Bible goes up, they also want to go up. That is Simon, the sorcerer. That's why the Lord said, your name is not Simon anymore. Forget the old man. Your name is Peter, the rock upon which I build the church. You know what does it mean? The rock points to earth, footstool. Who will sit in the church? You? The King of heaven will sit in the church. The Lord tells Peter, be my footstool. Apostolic faith is the footstool of God who places his feet on earth. If there is no apostolic faith, the Lord's feet cannot land. That's why Jesus says, there is no place for Son of Man to lay his head. Because he is not a weak man for to show sympathy to him. He is a King of heaven, sit in the throne. He lay his feet on the earth. There needs to be a place. That is, the Lord says, I look for a man to stand in the gap. For what? Be the rock upon which I place my church. Mary, the woman who was washing the feet of Christ, don't you see that she is the church? With burden, with truthfulness, with gratefulness, with true repentance, her heart was broken, spirit was contrite, everything was jet set, go, and the Lord says, I am close to thee, anoint my feet. Anoint my feet. And she anointed the feet of Christ. Feet of Christ. God who keepeth Israel neither sleep nor slumber. The Son of Man need a place to sleep. Who is Son of Man? The Jews believe one of the prophets. One of the prophets. Oh my. There is a word called veiling. Do you know in the scripture? It means, if you go to some other countries, when you see a death of some young ones or tragic death, people will mourn for days. Whoever passes the street, you will hear a wailing sound. You know that there is a tragic thing, you know, happened in the house. There will be, no. It's called wailing. It's not crying, it's wailing. It's a sound, you know, that will psychologically affect you. When the true repentance comes to the children of God, the whole earth will be covered by wailing. Because the earth must be washed of true repentance before the glory comes in. Why? God will not land where He don't see. They are worthy to receive Him. Thou art worthy. And the Bible says, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, before I continue, I want to show you a series of images to stir up our hearts, to stir up our minds. So, let's pay attention to this. I prepared this in the month of March. When I say prepared this, I saw these pictures accidentally when I was doing my office work. Was searching for something for my work and I saw this accidentally. Then I was inspired. I took it. I sent to them that I will show this sermon. This sermon, for the last 2 months, I told them to be ready, but I never had the leading to ask for it. Because there was something the Lord wanted me to learn during this trip. So I thank you all for your prayers. I came back safely. And I learned something so encouraging in this trip. And now it is the time for me to show that so that we can meditate. Amen? So let's start from the first image. Just look at it. I hope the screen is shared for those who are joining online as well. This is the image that I prayerfully prepared just to remind myself what is the sermon series all about. Because the sermon series says, kiss of God's counsel. But God is spirit. Okay? But God is in the midst of his children. The kiss of God's counsel is the fruit of the fellowship. Am I right? Kiss of God's counsel is a fruit of fellowship, not self-counsel. Now, in this picture, a group of people pull something in one direction. Correct? Not in different directions. So you see unity. That's the first image. Praise the Lord. Not just that, bear ye one another's burden. Because they all had one single burden, because they were holding onto one single rope, which I call it as the hope of eternal glory. One hope. Straight, not crooked. Okay, praise the Lord. Go to the second one. A single man searching for a light in the midst of the forest, but he also carries a light. What the Bible says, thy word is lamp unto my feet. I walk by faith, not by sight. In order for the prodigal son to go to the Father in heaven, the prodigal son must have the light in him, which is I am the Son of the Father in heaven. And the word of God that guides to see where is the Father's house. Once he comes near to the Father's light, the light will reconcile you back. Why? He who dwelleth in unapproachable light. Do you understand why the parable of prodigal son, father had to bring the son inside? Because he types the Father in heaven, he who dwelleth in unapproachable light, he must approach you. You can't find him. He has to come and take you home. That is why the groom comes to take the bride. For the bride has no transportation to heaven. For he is the way. Amen. But that single man, the journey, he cannot walk alone. This is the state of today's world. I love God. God will guide me. Which God? I will rejoice in my God. Which God? Do we know how God rejoices over his people? That personal walk is only a sample of deny yourself, take up your cross, follow your Lord. That is the only where we have to understand salvation is personal. My Lord deals with me personally. That is your intimate relationship with God. But our walk with the Lord has to be rooted, established in the kiss of God's counsel. Why? Kiss needs closeness. Aaron was somewhere in the wilderness. Can you kiss Moses? Moses, I give you a flying kiss. It will fly over all the wilderness, all the mount and just will come and land on Moses' cheek. Aaron has to go there, hug him, tight for the ribs to be broken with so much love and kiss him. The Lord will heal. Now look at the down image. People walk together. I just found this image just to tell the message. We are walking together to proclaim the death on the cross. Never ever forget that. We are not walking together because we have doctrine, we have books, we had apostles, we had ministry, we had family members. We are not walking together for that. We walk together to proclaim the death on cross. I proclaim the death of my Lord. Because that is what the bride should do. Because the groom lives forever. The husbandman comes, the creator comes. When we do this, there is an important role of one another to join together, like what Leah said, my husband and me joined together by who? Levi. What is Levi? Priesthood. What is priesthood? Ministry. Ministry unites people to be joined together to abide as one vine, branches in the vine. Or drops in the wine that we drink. We are all the drops. We are all the piece of the bread. United. Now that is how the Levites, they were carrying the ark in the wilderness. Because the word of God was on the shoulder. Amen. Which types the tables of testimony of Moses. And manna was there. Aaron's staff was there. But that tabernacle, that little ark, was not carried by Moses or Aaron. Because both Moses and Aaron represents the Lord himself. Moses spent time with mountain, with God's glory. That type God is spirit. Aaron stood in the gap, like high priest, to intercede for all of us. That type Calvary, Jesus Christ, the high priest. But both of them types God. Why? I am the Lord, types high priest, thy God, types the one who is spirit, Shekinah glory. They type. But the people who received the teaching of the mouth of God through Moses, they carried the word. That's why Jesus said, you will do greater works than me, because I rejoice over thee. You rejoice in me. Together, we will do greater things. Now, my brethren, this is what a family of God is all about. Now, let's go to the next one. This is the image I found, if I'm not wrong, around 20 March 2026, about 1.5 months ago. Since then, I told her, I will need this, but I didn't even remember that I told her. I could not bring it up. But I praise the Lord. This shows two people hold on to the ladder so that the ladder will not go to the right, will not go to the left, that the man who is climbing the ladder will touch the light. Amen? Which is a beautiful example of Moses praying, hands outstretched, lifted up to heaven, Aaron on the right, or her on the left. They were carrying the arms of Moses that his hands will be remain lifted for salvation of the Lord to come. Amen? Whether two or more gather in my name, I shall dwell in the midst of them. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is good. But I accidentally saw another image which was taken in an actual workplace. Two workers, they had to hold the ladder in an impossible situation because there was no wall to support for a man to climb over the ladder to repair a light. Now, the way they are holding the ladder is to make sure that he won't fall, isn't it? Of course, it's not the safest approach, but just an inspiration. If one takes his hands off, that man will fall. Because the center of gravity, the man, inertia, you know, right? It will pull you back. So they had to be together, like the two cherubims who cover the ark, and the word of God will do the job because it is pointing to bring down the glory. This is taken in a workplace. Okay. Now let me show you an example which I also saw on the same day, these three images. A man who is working, and there is only one who is holding the ladder, and he fell. Now please play it again. Just see it again. Now think about the way the ladder is positioned. It is upside down from the stairs, awkward positioning, and too much trust in the one person who is holding the ladder. But the Bible says, whatever it is, let there be two or three witnesses to be established. Amen? Let's take a simple example. If you can put another man who is holding the ladder from the behind, he would not have fallen. Now, when he fell, play it again. Please look at why he fell. Please play it again. The light fell on the hand of the man. Please go again. The one who is holding the ladder, you see the light hit the hand of the man. The very reason that they wanted to finish the task fell. The fruit fell on the hand of the man who was holding in an awkward position. And the light hit the hand. He had to take the hand. When he took the hand, the one who was standing in the ladder, he fell. Now remember this, the accident happened because of the light that fell. Play it again. Now you see closely. Light fell, hit the hand, he took a hand and he fell. But his fall was deeper than how much he claimed. You know why? Because he fell into the pit. It was not a plain level, correct? Now please go to the next one. If I just put all three straight, you can see, yeah, that's the date, 23rd March. 1 week later, we shared a prayer request with all of us that in my house, a worker who was climbing the ladder on a top ceiling to repair the light or paint the wall, I do not know. But my mother said he fell and his head got hit in the edge of the stair, and he had a knee injury and he had a concussion, was unconscious, admitted in the emergency. It took 7 days for him to recover. By God's grace, there was no coma and he recovered. We all prayed. We thanked the Lord for his mercy. But that's not the message. The message was, my mother said, he had an accident many years ago. He don't have one eye. His one eye is only socket, empty socket. He lost his eye. So, when he was working, there was no one to hold his ladder. He was doing it by himself. So he misplaced the feet. After he come back to consciousness after a week, he told them he did not see the right side properly, correct? Because he has only one side. One of his feet misplaced and he did not touch the ladder support. He put the leg on air, not on the wood, and he fell. Thank the Lord, his life was preserved. His vision was compromised, isn't it? Now, all three examples, it all points one single message. The first two, there was rejoicing. The last two, it was mourning, crying, wailing. Why? There was a fall. Now, let's go to our greatest example of ladder in the scripture. Our friend Jacob. Now, I just took some pictures just to, for the benefit of kids and the new believers. Please remember, whenever I wrote on the board or show some image, it is for new believers and for the young ones who are new to the faith. How to do whatever is the best for them. That's why I do all of the orals. I would just speak. It is easy for me. But it is not about what is easy for us. It's all about what is good in his sight. Now, this image is drawn by a lot of famous painters in the past. But it is not the actual thing that happened in the scriptures, because none of us know. There was no one to capture what happened. But we had the inspiration. There was a ladder, angels ascended and came up and down. There was a journey of up and down. Amen? Like agape goes up, comes down. Jesus ascended, he will also come back the same way he ascended. All the saints of God will also come with him, you know, with white horse, like a chariot. Now let's remember this example. Jacob was sleeping. I won't read the chapter, but I want all of us to remember this. Jacob was sleeping. Who is this Jacob? The father of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Joseph, Benjamin, all 12 tribes. Now he is sleeping. And the Lord gave him a vision. Saw a ladder. It is written, it is a ladder. And the ladder was linking earth and heaven. As if the Lord who sits in the heavenly throne as a king, he placed his feet on the footstool that is called earth. But Jacob saw that vision, no interpretation given, no explanation given, but the Bible says, Jacob woke up. He said, what he said, surely the Lord is here. You know, what does it mean? I rejoice in the Lord and the Lord rejoices over me. And that some experience, heavenly experience, it rejoiced, you know, it made Jacob to wake up with confidence, assurance, and he built an altar there and he gave a name to that altar. Who told him? And he gave a name to the Lord. Who is Jacob? The nation of Israel. The Lord changed his name to Israel. Amen? Now, in this example, what do you see? The flesh is sleeping. That is Jacob. But the heavenly thing, the work is keep on going from earth to heaven to and fro. Like the eye of the spirit search to and fro. In the same example, let me apply some more inspiration. Jesus was praying to the Father in heaven in Garden of Gethsemane. There was a heavenly communication going on. Jacob slept here. So Peter and James, John, they also slept. What's wrong about it? But the Lord rebuked them. Can't you watch? Can't you just pray with me? And he rebuked them 3 times. Amen? Why? The Lord said through the apostle, when one suffer, all go and suffer with it. When one rejoice, all go and rejoice with it. Why? Both are same. Double-edged sword. When Jesus suffered, all three went to sleep. He was telling them a lesson. Where is God's counsel in your life? Why are you separating thyself from my spirit? Jesus felt it. He came and so told them, don't you sleep. But after telling this 3 times, how many times? 3 times. The 4th time he came, he told them, sleep now. After Leah gave birth to 3 children, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, the 4th time Leah said, now I praise the Lord, when Judah came. And Jesus said, now you sleep and rest, because Son of Man will be handed over to those who will kill him. And that line of Judah will let the glory of God to be praised among heathen by demonstrating God so loved the world. He gave His only Son. People misunderstand. He will give a mighty Son. Will come with Michael, Gabriel, so many chariots, so many powerful. He gave His Son, which means He sacrificed His Son. He gave the life of His Son. It was a statement of mercy, sacrifice. But denomination churches celebrate John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. He did not give, you know, His Son like this. He sacrificed Him on the altar of sacrifice for my sin. It's a shame on me. He put me into shame. For God so loved the world because the world did not love Him. For God so loved the world because we did not love Him. For us to understand what is love, He sacrificed His only Son that we may rejoice in Him. Now, that's all right. Let's stop here. Well, let's turn your scriptures to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 18. Written by the wise king who fell to Astaroth. Now, chapter 5, verse 18, book of Ecclesiastes. It says, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and one to drink, and to enjoy the good of his labor, and he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion." So all of us in this world, my brethren, let's take a basic approach, which is we are all working for someone. We are all doing something to survive. Even you prepare food to eat, it is also you work for yourself. You have to take care of yourself. You are also a slave to your own flesh. No, we are all working for something to survive, isn't it? And the Lord says, "I allow whatever is good in your life, for it is your portion. But in all things, there is something that is always good that happens to us." Amen. Verse 19 says, "Every man also to whom God hath given riches," that is heavenly, "and wealth," that is the word of God, "hath given him power," that is the Spirit of God. There is no other power other than the Spirit of God. The anointing that is powerful, that destroys the yoke. Amen. "Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of God." There is only one power. "To eat thereof," that is why Jesus said, without the Comforter, the Spirit of God, Holy Ghost in our life, you cannot understand Scripture. "The Comforter shall come, He will guide you in truth." That is, the Scripture will be understood in the right intent. To do the word of God in the will of God. The power, that is Spirit, will let us to eat the word. Amen. Without the anointing of God Almighty, whatever the beautiful, flattery, perfect messages given by men profiteth nothing. Why? Word of God must be anointed. Peter said, "Repent ye therefore and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Simple one sentence. The whole world may try. If the word is not anointed, no one would hear the word of the Lord. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." Why? The Spirit becomes the mouth. When the Spirit becomes the mouth, "He that hath an ear," which is my sheep, "hear my voice." That sheep, the child of God, will hear. Does not need equation, does not need explanation. It will manifest. Now the Bible says here in the book of Ecclesiastes, "And to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God." My brethren, I wrote here, "the work of thy hands." So what is the work of the hands? The labor that God does through your life is a gift from God. The gift will always give you something to rejoice, right? Like children get birthday present, they rejoice. "Oh, I got a gift from my parents." The Father in heaven also gave you a birthday present when you were born of Spirit, His Spirit Himself. He gave His Spirit to you. The greatest birthday present anyone can think of. That can let you live forever and ever with Him. And not just that, let you repent truly. Now, verse 20 says, "For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart." My precious family, remember this. God answers not to your ear. He answers in the joy of heart. When we pray, He hears my cry. And He answers our prayers. But the Bible says, the Lord give you joy in the heart. Now, same book, chapter 3, let's reflect this verse in a different angle. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11. Verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Let's stop it there. Do you believe this? Don't lie. Tell this sincerely. Do you believe this? I do not know. Only the Lord knows. Do you truly believe this? Do you know what the verse means? Ye shall know them by their fruit, and the fruit is patience. Those who are not patient, they cannot understand the scripture. He can make everything beautiful in His time, only for those who wait upon the Lord. Just because the mother wants to see the child in the 6 months, will you cut your womb open, bring the child out? You will be the murderer of your child. The father knows when to deliver the child. The father knows when the tree will bear the fruit. The father knows when a soul will truly baptize, truly repent in His name. The father knows. But today the world, people are being forced to baptize. It's a stage of act, a drama. I don't deny. They say, baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. How many people in the world are baptized in Jesus' name? Countless? Okay. Let's examine. Can all of them will go to heaven? I say from the altar, nay. Then what is the fruit of the baptism? Nay. What is the true baptism? The evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism. Why? The Holy Ghost must be evident that you are baptized by the Spirit of God. What is it? God rejoices over thee. When a husband makes love to the wife, in that joy, the wife brings forth a child. Takes time, 9 months at least. In that 9 months, the wife will continue to take care of herself, deny herself, decorate herself with the word of God, in the prayer, in the fellowship, eat the good food, that is spiritual milk, and let the fruit of the Holy Ghost grow, grow, grow. When the time comes, you will speak, and the word will become the Prince of Life, the Son of Man, and that shall be Shalom. And what the Bible says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. His ministry, He has a time. His people, He has a time. His fellowship, His congregation, He has a time. Now, how the verse continues? He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, I ask the question again. Do you truly accept what the Lord said? God says, whatever I do, you little vapor of people, you don't know. Mount Perazim, remember what I said a few months ago? The place where God performed strange work, which means people didn't see this coming. It's not that He wanted to surprise people. No one can see the mind of God, because there is no one can give counsel to God. Amen? God knows what to do, when to do, how to do in His time. Let us reflect our life. You see the way the Lord dealt your life. Imagine you start as a Christian here. He did not give you everything when you loved Him. He waited for you to grow, experience, step by step, day by day, month by month, year by year. And He knows exactly when to bless you. And He knows when you can catch the blessing. Those who learn how to catch a simple ball or something that you throw, did you catch in the first place? You always drop in the first attempt. Why? Your hands don't know how to coordinate. Your mind needs to, you know, give the instruction. The finger do not know how to work. You fail. Then your eyes focus on the ball. The children knows how to plan and understand the trajectory. Then they'll catch it. That's what the Father is doing in your life. Salvation is now. Salvation is now. And He knows when to reveal, when to hide. But He will never lie. He will never lie. But He will not tell you everything. You know why? We have another name. Liars. Oh, brother. How dare you to call me liar? Okay, I am a liar. Let everyone be a liar. Because there is only one who is called the true and faithful witness. If at all we speak the truth, it has to be Him who speaks through you. Because we are liars. Because of what happened in Garden of Eden. And the serpent has another name. What is it? Father of all lies. The serpentine nature is a lie that resides in you. And the Lord wants the truth to crush it. And the Lord wants the truth to destroy the old man that is serpentine nature, that is falsehood. And the new man that who receives the truth should live. That is true rejoicing. When you do that, God rejoices over thee. That is, you have the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where the 9 fruits of the Holy Ghost shine like the stones in your tree from the heaven. Righteousness looked down and the truth sprung forth. Now let's read this. We were in chapter 3, verse 12. I read verse 13 again. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Amen? So what is the gift of God to all of us? Salvation is what? Gift. Because you did not deserve it. You are the recipient of God's mercy. Amen? You received it. Now let's turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy. I love Moses. I love all the servants of God. Because they died, but they still speak to us through the testimonies. They died, but they still speak to us through the letters, words. It is a perfect demonstration the word of God lives forever. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 12. If you truly want to understand what is rejoicing in the Lord, you have to study the entire book of Deuteronomy. You have no choice. But today I will just show you some verses to unfold the mystery of God's rejoicing over us. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. Now, verse 5 says, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put His name there, even unto His habitation shall ye seek, thither thou shalt come. So there is a place mentioned, not just that, there is a name mentioned. Amen. So let's take a simple example for the benefit of children. If this is the place the Lord had chosen, He had put His name that we may all gather and fellowship and pray. Amen. And we did. By the mercy of the Lord, we did all these years. But what the scripture talks about, it is a promised land where the name of the Lord is our inheritance. That is why we are marching forward. Because the people of Israel, they were all about physical blessings. Earthly blessings. Milk and honey. And to buy the square feet land from the land of Canaan. They were waiting for that vanity. But this speaks to us in a different way as a spiritual bride. The word bride. But why it is important? Verse 6. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heaven heave offerings of your hand. and your vows and your free will offerings, not the forced will, dutiful, for the sake of doing offerings, free will, joyful, cheerful offerings, and the firstlings of your head, herds, and of your flocks. So, the Lord commands people how to rejoice in Him. But, verse 7 says, and that ye shall eat before the Lord your God, not behind the Lord, not somewhere far away from the Lord, before the Lord your God. And ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. What the book of Apostles says in the book of Acts? As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That is what Joshua said, which was also echoed in the book of Acts. As for me and my house. Why? The Lord will rejoice over us in His salvation. Because I rejoice in Him. Salvation is now in me. Because the light will shine. Now, the verse says in verse 8, he shall not do after all the things we do here this day, every man whatsoever right in his own eyes. So, Moses warns people, just because of what happened, do not end up in doing things based on what you see in your own eyes, because it will result in something. That is the verse 9. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. Do you agree with this? Moses said this, not just for the people of Israel. Deuteronomy is a very, very beautiful book that speaks about God's glory. He says, ye are not as yet come to the rest. Now come to there. Blessed are those who are invited for the marriage of the Lamb. Amen. Until you go, you haven't gone yet. Until it is over, it is not over yet for you. But the Lord, He said, it is finished. That is why the wife of the Lamb follows the Lamb. Why? The Lamb said, it is finished. But for the wife, it's not. We, the bride of Christ, follow the groom for that promise to be manifested. Amen. Now, verse 10 says, but when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, when He giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety. Now, the Lord promised them safety. Do you know? The truth is, people worship God for safety. I'm not joking. They literally worship God for safety. Moses, what should we do? You go and hide in the house where you see the blood, or else the plague will kill you. Oh no. Forget about whoever is the God. I'll go and hide in the house where the doorposts are played with the blood. They hide for safety. They came to wilderness, they thought they are safe, and the Lord destroyed them. And here Moses says, you will go to the land of safety. People went. It was safe for a momentary time. Nebuchadnezzar came, burned the temple, took the people as captives. The same place which was called as safety by Moses, it became not safe anymore. Jeremiah came and said, do not remember the past. Look forward to what God is going to do. And people said, nay, they died on the spot. Now, what says here, verse 11, then there shall be a place, do you agree, there is a new place, which the Lord your God shall choose. Do you agree, God choose the place? You know how important it is? I'll tell you why. Let's stop here. Remember two examples I give you. David chose out 5 stones, smooth stones, to kill Goliath. Amen? Who chose the stones? David. Not God, not Saul, not Samuel, not Eliab. Example number one. Example number two. Moses goes to pray with Aaron and Hur. And Moses called Joshua. Joshua, come. And Moses tells Joshua, choose out men by thyself and go for the war. Moses, you are the leader. Choose out men. He gave that duty to Joshua. And the Bible said Joshua chose out men from congregation. They went to attack Amalekites, and Amalekites were killed, not just by the chosen ones, but most importantly by the hands outstretched. That shows God who keepeth Israel neither slumber nor sleep. And there are two anointed olive trees on the right and the left, Gabriel and Michael, who hold the testimony of the Lord, because he needs two to witness him. Type. Joshua chose out men. Praise the Lord. Wilderness. David chose out stones. Praise the Lord. Valley. Both are same. Now you come here. The Lord will choose the place. Every place that you are planted as a plant in the vineyard, you did not choose the place. The Lord chose the place. This family is my place. This family is your place. Did you choose? You did not even choose your own parents. Hello, wake up. What a joke it is. You did not even choose your parents. You did not choose your siblings. You only choose your friends. And the Lord says, choose your friends in Christ. Joshua, choose the stones. David, choose the stones. Smooth stones. Joshua, choose the stones. The feet that preach the gospel of peace. And Jesus chose 12 disciples. He knew the iniquity that was in Judas, but yet he loved him. Do you think I will hire Judas? I will love him because I must love him. Anyway, he's going to kill me. I love him. Every day I wake up, I forgive him. Every day I go to bed, I show mercy on him. You did not forgive him in the first place. The one who demanded apology, he never had received the forgiveness of God. Why? You demand because you don't even know what is forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Knew not. Now, the Lord choose the place because people cannot choose the place, because the place represents Sabbath. The Lord is my rest. Joshua overcome all the battle and the people of Israel rested from all the wars. Rejoice. Rejoice. Verily, verily, I say again, rejoice. Always rejoice, rejoice forever. There are so many verses in the apostles' letters. But here, men chosen out, stones chosen out, but the place was chosen by God. Because Abraham said, the place where we shall dwell, the builder and the maker is who? God. Now remember this. Let's continue. The verse says, in 12, there shall be a place which the Lord God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. But people wanted to be there in a safety manner. But the Lord says, I want my name to dwell there. If there is no glory of God in the family of God, do you think the name of God is in the family of God? I repeat. If there is no glory of God in the family of God, do you think the name of God is in the family of God? Nay. The name of God cannot be uttered, that can be heard to heaven, without the glory of God. Solomon knelt and prayed. In his love, in his humility, humbleness for the repentance of people. And the Bible says, their prayers came unto heaven. So there was a journey. There was a journey. The words of men reached unto heaven. Like how the word of God will come. All the parts of the word, he will redeem us back to the place where we are. The new city, holy Jerusalem. Amen. The king is coming. And I believe book of Zechariah says, chapter 9, greatly rejoice because your great king is coming. If we truly believe, the book of Revelation says, come Lord Jesus quickly, Maranatha. So you all understand, I understand, we all understand the king is coming. Amen. Not the sacrificial lamb is coming. Hello? It is done. The king of kings is coming. The righteous judge is coming. And the Bible says the bride should greatly rejoice to welcome him. That desperation to see his face. That groaning, that, you know, that unquenchable hunger and thirst to see his face, it's gone. Why? Distraction. Why? Rejoicing has been replaced by murmuring, weariness, pain, sorrow. But the Bible says he hath made everything beautiful in his time. but it is not beautiful in my time, I am not rejoicing. What is our time? It's called time of death. Rich fool, this night, thy life, my life, all of our life, the Lord can say, I will demand thee this night. My time. What is my time? Vapor. Book of James says, our life is like a vapor. Just like that. Now, the word rejoicing, here it says in verse 11, hither shall ye bring all that I command you, that is our life as a living sacrifice. You burnt offerings, that is the Spirit, the Holy Ghost baptism, because the Spirit is fire. Amen. The Lord burn us. We sing a song, right? Burn, burn in my Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now he says, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord, which is whatever you said to the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, you must pay it. Oh, I did not say anything. Oh, we said so many things. I will wake up in the morning, I will go to the house of God, I will worship Him in His tabernacle. You said that. I said that. Then do it. The Lord said, there is no greater love than the one who gives His very own life for His friend. You said that. Do it. We should do it. The Lord said, they that fear the Lord spake unto one another, they fellowship with one another, they pray together. We do it because we said, Lord, I promise thee to keep your commands until you come and take me home to proclaim your death on Calvary. Amen. The father who did everything for his family by giving his only son, and the son come for that bride who understand the love of the father. He would not marry any bride who do not know the father. Now who is the father? God is spirit. And who is the son? God was manifest in flesh. All the new believers who may watch this, that you are confused by many words of men that Trinity is true, two in one is true, Jesus Christ is in flesh, this and that, my brethren, thy creator is thine husbandman. Explain this to me. Just explain this to me if you are confused by Trinity. Thy creator is thine husbandman. And there is no other name to be worshipped other than the name of God. Then why do you worship Jesus' name? Because He promised in the book of Deuteronomy, I will put my name in the place to dwell. The glory of the Father in heaven. That is why I said, many people may have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That is not salvation. It is a type that you surrendered. But the true baptism is in the Holy Ghost. A baby is formed in the womb. But until the child is delivered in 9 months, it is not baptism. The Holy Ghost feed the child. The spiritual milk feed the child. And the child comes on and say, Abba, Father. Then you are baptized. So what is rejoicing me? Are you baptized? Hey, brother. I have a video. I will show you. So we go to heaven with a video. Proof. Brother again baptized me. He said the name of Christ. Proof. The apostles said it in truth. Did we receive it in truth? Did we receive it in spirit? There are many places people baptize because parents are baptized. People baptize because it is the token to be part of the church. Or it is a trend. Or fear of death. Or desire to go to heaven. Not rejoicing. When I was in youth ministry in 2005, I had seen cases where people in the church, they forced their family members to be baptized and they gave them deadline. I rebuked them. How dare you? My aunt did this. You know what does it mean? If you don't receive the name of the Lord by this, this, this and so, that's it. What that's it? Have it in scripture. The Holy Ghost baptism happens in God's time. You know what is God's time? He hath made all things beautiful in His time. Jesus Christ comes for the beautiful bride. Spiritually, our life is not over until the Holy Ghost is evident in our life. The 9 beautiful tastes of the Holy Ghost fruit should be evident in our life. Now I'll tell the truth. It is not all evident in our life at the same time. That is why you are breathing. That is why I am breathing. Because we are imperfect. But the one who called me is perfect. And He told me, I am perfect. Be ye perfect. I hold on to the promise. Because He said, let there be light. There was light. And He said, you shall be perfect. And I believe that. He will make you perfect. The Lord will make you perfect. You know what does it mean? God rejoices over thee. When the rain falls on the tree will have the beautiful droplets of rain, isn't it? What the servant of God taught us about the former rain and the later rain. And the Lord focus, it means in the end of the day, the Lord will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Focus. He rejoices over us. And that moment will testify His glory by us rejoice in Him. The fruit of the Holy Ghost. So where this is all pointing to? Without fruit of the Holy Ghost, there is no rejoicing. Without the righteousness from heaven looked down on earth, there is no rejoice over us. The eyes of the Father should look down and say, Mary, I am blessed by your faith and I love thee. God rejoiced over Mary, not with Martha. Why? Martha was busy, far away. The truth is, both the two sisters, they represent the same. Same as Leah and Rachel. As I said, Old Testament, we should put the characters together. Jacob's wife, one wife. Flavor of Leah, flavor of Rachel. Then bring the two sisters, Mary, Martha. We are called to serve, but not without resting. We are called to rest, but not without serving. Hand in hand, together, like right and left. Amen? The balance is what the Lord taught us. Now, as we close, let's read a few verses. Deuteronomy, we continue, because it's a very beautiful book. We will continue by God's grace in the next week. Chapter 16, verse 11. It actually transforms the way the rejoicing is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy. It transforms as the chapters go. I will just show one verse, then we will read 1 Peter. Chapter 16, verse 11. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within thy gates and the stranger, the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place His name there. How deep it is. How deep this word is. Some are born in the house of Abraham, but some are purchased by money. What is money? The Lord purchased my salvation by His blood. Are you a Jew? I am not. But the Gentiles receive mercy. We were all strangers to Him. Amen? And He made us to be sons and daughters of God. And verse 12 says, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Because Psalm says, the heart rejoiceth in the statutes and the testimonies of the Lord. Because the law of the Lord is perfect. Now this word father, the word father, I want us to show you what is the meaning of father. Book of Proverbs 23. Book of Proverbs 23, verse 15. Book of Proverbs 23, verse 15. Now the father speaks to a son. Amen? Like all of us. Our Lord speaks to the daughter of Zion, the bride. He says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. So what does it mean? For God, who alone is wise, When the children of God say, do things in wisdom, the Father rejoices because His wisdom manifested. That is, Son honoreth the Father. What is the name of the Lord? He said, there is one who is greater than Solomon standing here, who is wiser than Solomon standing here, Jesus Christ. Next verse says, yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. I love it. The word of God says, when the children of God speak the right words, with right intent, the word of God says, I rejoice over thee. Why? You are the part of the word. When the part of the word speak the word of God rejoice over us. Because I belong to Him. Amen? Now, let us all read 1 Peter as we close the sermon, as I mentioned. Now, 1 Peter in the book of Proverbs also tells us the Father, righteous Father, rejoices in the righteousness of the Son. Amen? Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. So let's receive it deeply. Whom have ye not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing. What is this? Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I do not have space to write. I will just write this thing. Unspeakable joy in full glory. How can the joy can be unspeakable? There are several times we all cried, not because of some sad events, not because of some evil events. But the Lord blessed you with something that you did not expect. He gave you the overwhelming joy. Even before you opened the lips, your eyes were already speaking. Even before you want to convey your thoughts, already the tears are flowing down like a river. Unspeakable joy. Even when you are touched by the forgiveness, the mercy of the Lord, you are unrest, you are weary, suddenly there is a sudden gentle breeze in your heart, a peace. No, and you suddenly, you know, like, just like frozen, and you could say nothing but just cry. But there is no one around, a still, you know, a place where you find solace and comfort. Then you wake up, wipe off your tears, and you go and do your business. Unspeakable joy. Unspeakable joy. Every one of us had experienced it. Especially those who did not see their loved one for a long time. When they see you, even before they speak, they will come with tears. Because they are longing to see you. Now, unspeakable joy and full of glory. Verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Now you do understand why the Bible says, my soul shall joy in the God of my salvation. My brethren, remember this. Salvation is from God who is Spirit. And He gave it to us by being the Lord to all of us. And He came to us with the name of Savior. This is the Bible. In this word of God, He is a Savior. He says, the beginning and the end, the Savior. But the Word was with God and the Word was God. I am Yahweh, thy Elohim. There is no three in one, there is no two in one. Everyone, those who are influenced by false ministries, false preachers, I'll give you one beautiful, humble request. Run away. You will find the truth. Don't wait to find a shelter. Walk into wilderness with the faith. It is better to fellowship with the Lord in your closet than fellowshipping with falsehood. God did not give them the promised land until they step inside the wilderness. Every one of us must go to the wilderness. When you step inside the wilderness, He will become your guide. He won't give you promised land like a door delivery. You walk for it. You run for it. You go through the Kidron Valley for it. This is a problem of those who struggle to accept the truth because they think. I know many people, they are in between. Even those who may be listening. They are waiting for God's confirmation with another shelter. He won't give. You show Him, you give away all the idols. You throw away everything that is not of scripture. Then He will show you the way. But the Lord says, you draw nigh to me, I draw nigh to you. You rejoice in me, I rejoice in thee, I rejoice over thee. I throw what was given to me. And after some time He showed me this vineyard. If I did not throw, I would be in the prison. We should throw. Any idol, anything that is not good to God's side, any thoughts, anything that makes you not to be rejoicing in the Lord, throw it. Lest Ashtaroth being worshipped in your heart without your knowledge. What book of 1 Peter says, verse 11, of verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto ye. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. We talk about rejoicing. Why do you want to bring sufferings? There is no life if there is no death of the old man. And the Lord says, my children will embrace the fellowship of my sufferings, and I will know my children. When I chasten them, they will still hold on to me. They are my children. God said this. Amen. Now what comes after? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that they should follow. Amen. When there is shame, there is honor. When there is suffering, there is rejoice. When there is fall, there is rise. When the Lord sacrificed, He died, and there is resurrection come after. Verse 12. Let's all rise as we close the sermon. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. May the Lord bless us. I want all of us to take this inspiration today as we leave the church. Similar to the ladder that Jacob saw in the dream. Book of 1 Thessalonians say, the bride of Christ, we will meet Him up in the air. And imagine the rainbow is like a ladder with different colors. You take one step at a time. But the Lord will meet you up in the air, which means He wants you to climb up. And now you cannot climb up without two or three witnesses holding onto the ladder because you will fall. I showed you. The ladder the Lord placed, it needs support. He did not place a big building to just climb without anyone's support. Bear ye one another's burden and fulfill the law of Christ. The life is a ladder where there are two at least who will hold the ladder for you. When I had a knee ligament injury, I had to be carried by two people on my side that I can go to the restroom. Can I say, I will roll down on the floor. I don't need anyone. You need people because God is in His people. And that fellowship is called the kiss of God's counsel. And that counsel is making all of us to climb up the higher ground. That is us changing from glory to glory. The serpentine nature we will have to lose one by one as we climb. The spiritual bride, the word bride, will meet Him up in the air, not alone. It must be done by the fellowship of God. And most importantly, the evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism, which is the true rejoicing in the Lord, which is the true glorifying of the Lord, that He will rejoice over thee, which is He will tell you, my faithful servant, I am well pleased in thee. That is God rejoice over thee, because faith represents the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May the Lord bless us as we continue the same topic next Sunday. And God bless you all. Shalom. Let's sing one song. The joy of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord is perfect. The book of Psalm. Please, thank you. As we wait for the song to be loaded, I want to thank the Lord and testify His goodness for me being able to be here today. Last night I was preparing sermon at about 1:30 a.m. I got an emergency call from Australia. I did not see it. Then the call came to my wife's number. Then we took it. It was my wife's brother who is working in Australia. His wife and his son, whose name is Jeremiah, he is same age as Joshua, my son. They were born in the same year. My sister-in-law, my wife's brother's wife, she still in Singapore with her son, waiting to relocate to Australia because she's still working in the University of Singapore. Yesterday, her son Jeremiah had a huge health care. He had a severe pain in the stomach. It seems he was very ill. She had to carry him and she is not well, went to the emergency. She didn't tell at first because maybe she might have thought, don't want to disturb as tomorrow is Sunday. But a lot of scans, a lot of blood tests, so many things happened. They told her that she has to go for surgery, a 6-year-old boy. So she called and I was preparing with food, dress, everything for her to go to the meet her in the emergency. So last night up to 2 or 3 a.m. I was preparing to go to emergency. Then she called and she said, you know, she could not take the stress and the overwhelming presence in the hospital because the son was crying. They asked her to go, asked him to go for surgery, you know, and she was scared. So she discharged the son and she went to the house because he was crying and making a huge scene there. So that's why Sister Anita, she went to stay with her today morning to be with them. So me and Hazel, we just came to the church. So I thank the Lord. I do not know what happened after this, I'm going there. Just remember him in your prayer. His name is Jeremiah. And second, during my trip in Odisha for the project work, by God's grace, we escaped 3 major accidents. And we thank the Lord for preserving, and we thank you all for your prayers. And I want to thank the Lord for the blessed foot washing gathering that we all had on Sunday. It really a testimony of this vineyard that the Lord blessed all of us to be there. And I was very glad to see Brother Tiang. I thank the Lord for that. Because when I was on the way to India, my heart was rejoicing, you know, that we all had that brotherly love. Amen. We thank the Lord and God bless you all.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for blessing all of us, all our souls, to experience the joy in my God, who is my salvation, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us to understand the truth, to be fruitful in thy vineyard by the fruit of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, may you guide us, O Lord, in your everlasting mercy and kindness, that we may bear the fruit, that you may rejoice over all of us, O Lord. And Lord, we pray, O Lord, that we don't want to be the people that say, Lord, Lord, and we perform miracles, this and that. But Lord, you said, you do not know the flesh that do everything iniquity. But Lord, you know your children. You know your bride in spirit, in your word, in your perfect will, in perfect submission. And Lord, we pray, may you bless us, O Lord, that we live a life where we all rejoice in thee, O Lord. Where we rejoice in the Lord of my life. Where we all rejoice in the word of God. That you may rejoice over all of us. That is the true evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That we live a life that is worthy of thy name, that is worthy of thy calling. Bless us, Lord, as we walk in this life with one another. May the kiss of God's counsel be upon us as we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.